good morning, everyone. All of our campuses, Williamsburg, Somerset, here in London, all you joining us online. Here's my question real quick, man. What a great time of worship we had this morning singing together. And here's what I want to know. I want to know if there's some people in here that are grateful that there's a God who loves you, cares for you, has provided for you, because it didn't sound like it a minute ago. Man, it is good to be with you. It's good to be with you on a Sunday. We're here in Southeast Kentucky. We're not worried about weather this weekend. Maybe it's an official kickoff to 2025, but we're glad you're here. If I've never had a chance to meet you, my name's Jack. I'm one of our pastors here, and we have been in a series over the past 4 weeks called It's About You, and we're finishing up on the book of Jonah, and I'm looking forward to it today. But I got a question for you to get us kicked off this morning. Here's my question. How many of you have ever watched something that didn't have a good resolution? Maybe it didn't make sense to you. Maybe it was a movie, maybe it was a TV series, maybe something like that. How many of you have ever had that, right? Maybe it was some old movie, old shows like, I hate to say that they're old now, but like Will and Grace or Roseanne, more recently, Game of Thrones. If you were a fan of the show Dexter, there was some controversy, or maybe even a show called Pretty Little Liars. Didn't watch that one, but I know some Pretty Little Liars, but I know some of those people. And you know, maybe that's like you, but you get to the end of something and you walk out of the movie theater, or you finish a season, or you're at a place where it just ends weird and you got more questions. Anybody ever been there, right? You got more questions. The questions, did they survive? Did they die? Did they get back together? What happened to them? But the show didn't do a very good job and they rushed through it, or maybe they ended abruptly and there was just no good or real resolution to what you just spent your time watching, especially if you've watched something that you put many seasons and years into. How many of you really hate that? Raise your hands online, in our campuses. How many of you hate that? I hate that. Well, let me tell you, if you hate that, you're gonna hate the ending to today's story on Jonah. You're not gonna like the ending on Jonah's story today. So let's look back just a little bit to kind of get us where we need to get to today. But if you remember in Jonah's life, God asked Jonah to do something. He asked him to go and preach to the Ninevites. He asked him to go and do this thing because these people needed Jesus, right? They needed to hear some repentance. Now, they were hated. The Ninevites were a hated people. They were evil. And what you find out is obviously Jonah has something with him because he ran in the other direction. He got in a boat. He got on a ship, started to head towards Tarshish. He's going in the other direction. And then all of a sudden, there's a massive storm that comes up. The boat's in jeopardy. The sailors are in jeopardy. You find Jonah asleep in the boat. Not that it's another foreshadowing of Jesus to come, but he's asleep in the boat. They figure it out. It's Jonah's fault. They're about to die. Let's just get rid of Jonah. So Jonah's tossed out into the sea. And then as he's possibly drowning, let's just say God made a provision and he gets swallowed up by a big fish. And it's just a reminder again that what was a problem in most of our eyes was a provision for Jonah. So we get to chapter 2. We find Jonah praying. We find that God had mercy on him. We find out that there's a big fish that vomited Jonah up on dry land. Now that was mercy. That was mercy, right? That was a lot of mercy because it could have went a whole lot of other way. Think about it. There's several options at this point in Jonah's life. Jonah could have simply just drowned and died, but there's a fish that comes and swallows him up. That's mercy. I didn't know that was going to mess with people, thinking that there was a fish that threw him up. But then I didn't ask him if I could share this morning, but one of our good friends from here at the church came up to me and said, "You have completely wrecked my childhood understanding of Jonah by thinking that there was a fish that threw him up." Sorry, Logan. Logan came up and said, "All I thought was that there was a fish that had Jonah, protected him, and he was sitting on a chair like all the picture books had and just took care of him, and he started praying." And that's what I thought too as a kid growing up. But let's take it a step further. If you didn't like that part, there were more options here. As a matter of fact, that big fish had two distinct options. Yeah. There's two distinct exits. So God had some mercy here because he threw him out on dry land. It could have went out the other side. And then we could have been talking about Jonah being like a dropped anchor or a deep sea deposit. But there was mercy here for Jonah. Oh, mercy. And then we get to chapter 3, and we understood last week that God is a God of second chances. As a matter of fact, this is what it said about Jonah last week. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. How many times? A second time. Another question for you. How many are you thankful that God is a God of second chances? Right? God is a God of second chances. And how many of you are thankful that God has given you second chances? I'm thankful that he's given me second chances. As a matter of fact, I'm glad that he calls us and calls us back again. Then Jonah gets to preaching a message. It's not a fun message, but it's a message. As Pastor Will said last week, it's a turn or burn kind of message. It's a message of repentance. It's a message, if you don't do this, then this is gonna happen to you. Matter of fact, chapter 3, verse 10 says this, when God saw what they did, and this is what happens when Jonah preaches, they turned from their evil ways. He, meaning God, relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God's a God of second chances. He's also a compassionate God. So what happened? They simply heard the words of God through the prophet Jonah, and they responded. That's what you and I are supposed to do. We're supposed to respond to God's message. And Jonah simply does this. He repents and turns. Jonah had ran from the Ninevites. And we're gonna find out a little bit more to his motive here in a minute. But he repents. And for you and for me as followers of Jesus, we're glad to have that God of second chances. And for you and me, repentance is that recalibration we need to our spiritual life. It's our spiritual GPS. You know, you can pay attention to your GPS in your car, but it's only as good as you follow the instructions. And that's if the instructions are good from the GPS, right? But you're only as good as you follow those instructions. I had a trip the other day to Lexington. I can remember growing up, one of the biggest conversations in my house was before you had GPS and all this, they would sometimes pull out a map and then they would have a discussion about how they were going to get to wherever they were going when they got to Lexington. And maybe that was just me, but that could have been the product of living in a truck driver's house because they talked about where they were going all the time and how to get there. But repentance for us, for people of faith, it's a necessity because there is a God of second chances. Repentance is simply like this. It's like hitting the reset button on your heart and mind. It's the U-turn in our life. It's acknowledging that we have been heading in the wrong direction, but it's also a stop, and then we allow God to guide us back into the right direction and onto the right path. These people, when they heard the message from Jonah, they repented, and then God relented. He had mercy on some of the most evil people of the day. So what does that tell you and me? He has mercy for all people. They didn't deserve it. They had been vile their whole life. Their actions, they had been evil. From the king to the commoner, the scripture teaches us that they repented. Their repentance happened. As a matter of fact, it's a massive transformation. Could you imagine that happening in our day and time? What a revival. Right? We would be talking about it. We would be going to it. We would be wanting to head somewhere to be a part of it, to sense it, to see it, to touch it, to be a part of that revival. When you read history about the Great Awakenings and everything that happened from Europe to the United States, you just want to be a part of it. Jonah preached. They repented. God pulled back his punishment and relented. And Jonah was super happy about it. I mean, can you imagine being the pastor or the evangelist that got to do that? Having a little fun, jumping around, you're a lot of joy. But the scripture tells us that that's not what happened. Instead of that, Jonah became very angry. Not just angry. He became obstinate to it. He hated it. He didn't like any of it. In chapter 4, verse 1, it gives us clarity to his anger. It points to the fact that he thinks that this thing is not fair. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish." He was angry about it. He thinks it's not fair. Have you ever saw somebody get a blessing or get forgiveness or get something and you thought in your own mind, in your own way, that's not fair? We've probably all seen that or experienced that to some degree. He knew that what would happen. You can say Jonah was a man of faith because he knew what would happen if he preached repentance. He knew who God was. And Jonah wasn't happy about it. And here's what he goes on to say, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. How many people are glad that we got a God that's gracious and compassionate? Slow to anger. He's abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. We do have a compassionate God. And what we think about when we see this story is something's happening here with Jonah. And I think it sometimes happens in our world, at least a little confession, it's probably happened with my attitude. Jonah really likes the grace of God applied to him, but not to them. But God, you're slow to anger and you're abounding in love, and I am so grateful for it. I'm so grateful that you are slow to anger and you're abounding in my life, Lord. This is the type of God that you serve and I serve. But Jonah wants to die rather than live. Why? Because God shows mercy to a group of people he didn't want him to show mercy to. And you get into this and you think about it and you think about the situation and it gets a little thicker. The drama gets a little thicker. There's a lot going on here with Jonah. And he throws a fit. He doesn't like any of it. A little pity party. And if we're not careful, we can do what I've always done to Jonah is I throw him under the bus because I'm better than him, right? Hey, come on. But we like throwing Jonah under the bus. But we need to slow down and wait. As a matter of fact, what most scholars think is that there was something possibly impacting Jonah a little deeper. You think? That maybe somehow that Jonah's family had been impacted by the Ninevites. You see, they were known for torturing people. There's a lot of history there. They killed people. They conquered with a heavy hand. There's obviously some history here. But here's what we do know about Jonah. He eventually did the will of God. Even though the people he didn't like had tortured probably some of his own people, he did the will of God. But there's some history here again with Jonah. And we can't overlook that. Because there's sometimes some history in your life and my life when we look at other people and we want all of God's grace, but we don't want to see it extended to somebody else. So Jonah gets a second chance and he does the will of God. And that's a good thing. But something still is a little off with Jonah here because he just doesn't like it. So this is what I think too. It's possible to do the will of God without the heart of God. It's very possible to do the will of God without the heart of God. It's possible as a church to pronounce the name of God and not follow God. It's possible for all of us to get in a place where we have things out of alignment just a little bit and we need a little adjustment too, like Jonah. You see, it's easy to roll the bus over Jonah here. But you and I both know this is true. We can do what God wants with the wrong motive. Let me give you some examples. I'm not throwing stones this morning. I'm just giving you examples. Matter of fact, I'm guilty of every one of these that I'm going to share with you. You have to open your pocketbook sometimes and give where you don't want to, but you're supposed to. That's been me. Sometimes you have to forgive where you don't want to forgive, but you want God's forgiveness for you. All right, God, I'll forgive. I'm just not gonna forget. Lord, I'll go to church. I'll make it in my schedule. It's a New Year's resolution. It's a goal. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna let myself get filled up. I'm gonna let myself get patted on the back. I'm gonna go, but you know what? I'm not gonna serve. Somebody else can take care of those kids. Somebody else can greet. Somebody else can. I've done that. I've literally ran out the door before, and I'll expound on that in a minute. But verse 5 says this. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. Where did Jonah go? Where'd he go? Something about east in the Bible. Making some speculation here, but there's something about going east. It's probably better to go north or south or west based on what I'm going to show you here in a minute. But sometimes going east, there's an issue here. Jonah preaches, and then immediately goes out of town. And he goes east, and there he made himself a shelter. He sat in his shade, and he waited to see what would happen to the city. So Jonah goes out, he preaches, and then he immediately leaves the city. He does exactly what God wanted and nothing more. He didn't stick around. He didn't have a conversation. He didn't pray with all the brothers and the sisters coming to faith. He didn't do any of that. He left. And the Bible sometimes shows us pictures of things. And there's several examples in the scripture where when something goes east, it can be a pick of moving towards exile and towards something that's holding you back, or old school term this morning, bondage. In Genesis 3, do you know that Adam leaves Eden? It says, and after he drove the man out, he placed on the what side? East side of the Garden of Eden, cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. He went east. When Adam had rebelled, he ends up leaving and going east. Now we get in the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, not too far away from that one. It says, so Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod. Where? East. And then we talk about Lot for a minute. Genesis chapter 13. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan while the Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. I practiced that a lot. I've seen the bad videos about people mispronouncing that. Verse 13. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. And then one more example this morning from Ezekiel. He said, with their back turned towards the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, they were bowing down to the sun in the east. Something about going east. You know, we've all went east when we've ran from God. We've ran in the other direction. Jonah didn't obey God. Or did he? With a bad motive. But he went east. Perhaps not trusting God again for the outcome. I don't know. He claimed God. But Jonah would do what me and you do a lot. He would turn his back on God. And he would flee. Because he didn't like what God was doing. And distributing his grace and his mercy to a group of people that simply turned and repented. You know, again, it's possible to claim God, but live with your back to him. It's not uncommon to see this in our church today. I've done it in my life, you've seen it, and in as many years of doing ministry, it happens because there's this thing called spiritual warfare that happens and life happens, but it's not uncommon to see some things happen when we want to engage with God, but when we're needing to take a step or maybe God's leading us towards him, you know, sometimes there's a lot of people that says, Jesus saves me, that they know him as Savior. But that's where our lives get in conflict because sometimes we don't live a life that shows that he's our Lord. We may have said it, we may have done it, we may be Savior on one hand, but we don't know him as Lord on the other. Sometimes I've proclaimed Jesus and I've turned my back on him. Here's the good news this morning. It's just like Jonah. There's an easy answer here. You just turn. Because there's a God of second chances. Who's compassionate. When we turn, we serve a compassionate and gracious God. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. And when we think about these things and we see the life of Jonah, we start to all of a sudden see our life in Jonah. That there's a real human here having real human issues that's looking at people that sometimes he doesn't like, and he's gonna have to do something he doesn't wanna do, but God's calling him to do it. And he begins serving a Lord that is slow to anger, abounding in love. And just when we start to understand Jonah, we can see ourselves in him. And here's what I don't like about it. If you don't know me, I can be a bit of a baby sometimes. Throw my own little pity party. My feelings get hurt. I can get mad pretty quick and uncomfortable. Unfortunately, sometimes it's the people you love the most that get the bad end of that. Have you ever been there? Some of you can throw a pity party. I can throw a pity party. I challenge you to a good pity party. No, I don't. We're not gonna do that. But I look at Jonah and he begins to pout, and I do that a lot. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 6, where we pick up the story, it says, "Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant, and he made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort." And Jonah was very, very happy about the plant. A minute ago, we talked about him being angered and mad. It wasn't just a normal angry. He had a fist-punching, foot-stomping kind of anger. But for Jonah, man, he's tired now. He's hot. And God's gonna provide a shade for him, and he's gonna be very, very happy about that. You see, he has a God that provides. Excuse me. And God made several provisions for Jonah. We already know that. God had provided a big fish for Jonah. God not only provided that big fish to help him out of a very, very, very bad situation in the water, God also provided this plant to cover him, to keep him shaded, to help him find relief in the heat. And Jonah was very, very happy about this. As a matter of fact, he rejoiced greatly about the plant. And the scriptures, in the intensity of it, says that it wasn't like he was kind of happy, like he found that $20 bill in your winter coat that you hung up last year and you just got it out a couple of weeks ago and there it was and you're happy about it. That did happen to me, by the way, but it wasn't a 20, it was like five. But I'm still happy about it. No, this is like hit the jackpot lottery happy about it. Do you all start to see the situation lining up here? There's repentance, there's a revival. Jonah's angry, he flees. But God provides a shade. And here's what I've learned about my life and yours. No matter how old I get, no matter when I started, no matter what Bible stories I learned in my kid's Bible story to when I'm where I'm at now, about to turn 48, here's what you know. God loves you, cares for you. As a matter of fact, we can't dodge. We cannot get out of the way of God's lessons in life and just want to receive his provisions in life. Jonah starts to get really comfortable under the shade tree because he was already discomforted on his way to get to the shade tree. And God's gonna provide this shade. And soon as he gets comfortable, God's gonna remind us all through the life of Jonah what we need. We'll get there in a second. Verse 7. "But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm." Here's another provision for Jonah. "He provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered." It's useless now. That shade is gone. Verse 8, "When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind." There it comes from the east again. "And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, 'It would be better for me to die than to live.'" When things aren't going how Jonah wants it to go, he gets in a bad place and he just wants his life to be over. You ever been there? Jonah is a little bit of a drama king among the drama queens, you know what I mean? He's making a big deal out of some stuff that shouldn't be made a big deal. He's all over the place. There's moments where Jonah's up, there's moments here where Jonah's been down. There's moments for all of us where he's been worshiping God and then mad at God. Have you ever been there? Man, I have. It's easy to criticize again Jonah and throw him under the bus, but can I just say I see myself in some of Jonah's life. He's up, he's down, and he's all around. As a matter of fact, there's a pastor named Craig Rochelle. He did some research, and these are some things he said. They took Jonah's life, and he let some people smarter than me look at it to describe Jonah in a modern sense. As a matter of fact, this is in three things. See if any of these three things identify with you, or maybe the person you're sitting next to. Jonah had erratic mood swings. They range from courageous obedience to extreme dissatisfaction. and anger, suggesting underlying frustration and the need to control. Jonah displayed entitlement tendencies, focusing on his own views of justice and expecting God and others to operate within those parameters. Jonah displayed depressive symptoms manifesting through feelings of burnout, sadness, anger, and hopelessness. Does that sound like somebody you identify with? There's moments in your life as a Christian where you can be close to God and the next day feel a little depressed. There's moments in life where you're gonna have a great time and you're gonna be in obedience to God, and then you're gonna miss something and ignore God because you don't like it. There's gonna be moments in our life where we're passionate about everything about our faith, and then there's gonna be moments where we become apathetic with our faith. And sometimes we all hate these lessons, but we love the blessings, right? We hate the lessons that God's teaching us, but we love the blessings of them. Jonah loves the blessings, but he's not paying attention and getting what God's trying to teach him. God provides shade, then the worm eats the plant, and Jonah has sunburn everywhere. At least that's what I think. So how does this story of Jonah end? Well, it's not good. I warned you at the beginning. It's not good. It just ends. But God gets the last word. God gets the last word in his life. In Jonah chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, it says this. But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Jonah says, "It is. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." And in verse 10, but the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight." God is in control. And we said this weeks ago, if you just missed it, and I'm gonna mention it again in a minute. The main character of the story is not Jonah, it's God. And then verse 11, should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. These people repented from the king to the commoner. And then it ends, and also many animals. What a great conclusion. And many animals, what does that mean? If anybody knows, let me know, because I have no idea in what the many animals means. Have no idea. Great conclusion, right? So we're left wanting more, because here's what we don't know. Did Jonah's heart finally change? Did his motive shift? Did he die? Maybe he was out in the belly of that fish for so long, he got mercury poison and died. I don't know. As crazy as the big fish swallowed him up, maybe the worm ate him, I don't know. But God simply says to Jonah, you would cry over a plant that you did not make, that you did not provide, but you won't cry over those who don't know me. This whole 4 weeks has been very up and down for me, engaging, because I see myself in the side of Jonah. We can be like Jonah. I can be like Jonah. But you know, there was one that was different. And for me, sometimes God can tell me to go into all the world, and I won't even cross the street to someone in need, a neighbor. How about you? God wants us to go, to be, to love, because he's a compassionate God. He doesn't want us to only go. He doesn't want us to only pray. Sometimes we don't do what God wants us to do. And all these things that God puts in our life is for us to have impact on people and for our lives to be better and to be free of the things that hold us back. Sometimes we don't serve because we're just scared to serve. That was me. 1998, I knew that God was doing something different in my life. I had never felt it, never sensed it before, and I ran from it. I've never told you this. I've told you that I ran, but and I'd sit in the back left corner of this building where I went to church, just about midway in that back row. Close enough. This is how good I was. If I didn't get the end seat, I knew how to set my seat down at the last song to where I could pop it back just enough to get out of that row without bothering anybody and know that I was gone. I was so good, I would park my car near the exit because I knew what time I had to get to church to get that spot so I could get out of there. And I would run. And we won't serve and we won't give and we won't engage with people, but we want everything that God has for us, but we won't engage. We want our will to be done if it can fit underneath His somehow. But we need to want His will more than our own will. I told you chapter 4 is going to be difficult to finish and to hear. So let's go back and just review Jonah real quick. Where we started, week 1. Main character is God in all this story. Jonah had some issues. His issues were with God. It's not really with the Ninevites. So he runs from God. But here's what I know. Jonah's attitude never changed God's character, nor will my attitude change God's character. No matter what Jonah did, God was God, and that's a good thing. Yes. Our God is always a gracious and compassionate God. And can I tell you, with you and with me, He's slow to anger. Like, man, I'm glad He's almost at a snail's pace with me, almost stopped because I need it. And He's abounding with love. And when you turn towards Him, you found out more and more how much that love He has for you. No matter the mistakes you make, or the indifference that you have, or the lack of obedience that you have, God is a slow to anger God, abounding in love, and He's amazing. And this whole story, when it starts in Jonah chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, it's all pointing to Jesus. And when Jonah points back to Jesus, when we get to the story of his life, guess what Jesus does? He points back to Jonah. Some weeks ago, we read Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus' words were, "You want a sign? Let me tell you the sign. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days." And we know how that story ended, that there was a God who came and He lived and He died and He went to a cross. And as He died on that cross, they would bury Him and put Him in this hole, in the wall, in the earth, in this cave. But there would be no one there to resurrect Him other than Himself. He overcame death, hell, and the grave so that you and I could have life and live it to the fullest. Amen. And now there is something greater than Jonah that is here. So what's greater than Jonah? His name is Jesus. Let me give you some more similarities. Jonah ran from God. Jesus surrendered to God's will. Jonah wanted his own will. Jesus wanted God's will. Jonah had refused to love sinners. Jesus ate with sinners like you and me. He loved sinners like you and me. He died for sinners like you and me. And like Jonah, you can know God and not be close to God because you can ignore Him. Or you can obey Him. You can run from God, or you can run with God. We're up, we're down. Some days we're happy, some days we're sad. Sometimes we're worshiping God, sometimes we're mad at God. Sometimes we're afraid and we feel alone. Jonah felt alone and he was ready to die because he knew just enough, about God. And maybe he was depressed. But some days we're up Some days we're a little depressed. Some days we're losing a little hope, and that may be some of you here today. Can I say, don't give up? There's a God that loves you. If you're not sure about life, there's a God that wants you to keep on living life. You're never alone. You're never helpless without God. And you're never hopeless because of God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God is a God. Second and third and fourth and fifth chances. And for you and for me, if we're gonna live our best life, we have to live our life following him, leaning into repentance when he calls us to do something, loving with his heart, even when it's uncomfortable. It's simply this, you just call on him and you change your direction. And here's what I would like to leave you with today. Every chance from God demands a choice from you, from me. So what will we do with the choice we have today? Today. Not tomorrow, not the future. Are you running from something this morning? In Williamsburg, are you running from something this morning? In Somerset, are you running? Wherever you are in the world, are you running? Just stop running. Because you have a gracious God, a compassionate God. He's abounding in love, and he loves you, and he loves me, and he cares deeply for us, and he wants the best for us, and he wants our churches to continue to be the hope of the world, and he wants to use us as change agents of people. Who are your Ninevites? Is it possible that you confess the name of the Lord, but he's not really Lord of your life? I'm not trying to guilt you this morning. I'm not trying to throw stones. This isn't a Turner Burns sermon, because I have a God that's gracious, compassionate, loving. His mercy knows no ends. He's full of grace that doesn't have to work through our works. It's through his work that was finished on a cross so many years ago. He loves you. He cares for you. He's forgiving God. He's a merciful God, and he wants to help you where you are when you may not even have an answer to where you're going, but God will provide because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Yes, and the question this morning is, are you going to lean in and engage with your relationship with the Lord? The question is, do you know him? The scripture does tell us that there's gonna be some that get in front of him one day, and then they're gonna confess the name Lord, Lord, and he's gonna say, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's possible to know of and not know him. And he did immeasurable things so that he could have a personal relationship with you. He is a conquering God that overcomes sin, death, and hell so that you and I can have life and live it to the fullest. And my question is, what are you running from this morning? Because today is a day, as John the Baptist would say, of repentance for your life and mind. What do you need to do today? I want to ask you to stand with me, all of our campuses here in London, stand with me this morning. I want to pray for you. Lord God, this morning as we pray together as a faith family, there's some of us that are struggling this morning. We're struggling with our walk. We're struggling with our obedience. God, we've ran. We love you, but our relationship is not really demonstrating that we're following you. Lord, I pray that today that you would mess with my motives, that you would mess with our motives, that they would be in alignment with you and what you would have for our life. I pray that today is a day of new beginning for a lot of us, that today is a day of repentance to where we re-engage with our faith, where we stop running and we lean in and we listen to you and we follow you, that the words of our lives and the fruit of our life would be demonstrations of your power in our life, and that people would be influenced by us and they would move from death to life. God, use us to be your influence. Use us to be a difference maker in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. Help us to lean in when we run away. Lord, this morning we ask that you would have your way with us, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.